Welcome to another episode of One Digital Debates. In this series, we put One Digital consultants head-to-head in friendly debates about trending topics in the world of workforce management. I'm Jenny Bedell. I lead HR consulting for One Digital's Tennessee market, and I'll be the host and moderator for today's conversation. Today, we'll be tackling a big topic, the state of America's economy. There's been a lot of seemingly positive economic news of late, which has caused many observers to wonder whether we finally escaped the chaos and instability of the post-pandemic years, and whether a better long-term business climate lies ahead. In this episode, we'll be dissecting recent economic data and discussing what type of economic conditions employers should realistically expect to see in the near future. Let's start off by introducing our two debaters. Our first workforce strategist is Sam McDermott, who will be arguing that we are indeed out of the woods and that employers should let their guard down a bit and plan for more stable economic conditions than we've seen in the last 4 years. Thank you for joining us today, Sam. How about you give us an introduction?
Thank you, Jenny. Happy to be here and happy to be representing the glass half full side of the house. Here at One Digital, I'm a retirement plan advisor working with companies to set up their retirement plans to make sure their retirement plan is running properly and oftentimes engaging with employees to make sure they understand the plan and how it works within the broader scope of their financial situation. So I have the luxury of interacting with employees regularly and hearing right from the source what's on the mind of American investors these days. And overall, I hear a lot of optimism and hopefully that's what I'm here to bring to the table today.
That's great. I'm a glass half full kind of girl, but let's flip to the other side, and introduce Brandon Kempen, who will be representing the opposing side and arguing that things are a little less rosy than they might seem. So maybe a little bit more the realist. Brandon, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself for us?
Thank you, Jenny. As Jenny mentioned, my name is Brandon Kempen, and I am a client portfolio manager here at One Digital. I've been at One Digital for just a little over 11 years now while working in various economic and investment-related roles throughout my time here. Currently, I'm more working with retirement plans and wealth advisors on investment selection and market strategy, with really a passion to do, you know, what I can to help individuals reach their retirement goals. And I will be arguing the glass empty. argument here. So,
all right. Well, this is going to be a fun one. So let's get started. In a moment, we'll have each side give an opening statement. After that, I'll ask our debaters a series of questions about the 2024 economic forecast and its implications for American employers. Each of our debaters will have the opportunity to defend their point of view and address their opponent's points head on. By the end, it'll be up to you, the audience, to decide who you think is right. All right, Brandon, let's start with you. We did a similar economy-themed episode at the beginning of 2023 with two experts discussing whether a recession was on the horizon. At that time, it seemed to me that the pessimistic side was honestly the easier one to argue. This time, I'm not so sure. Obviously, a recession did not occur in 2023. In fact, the economy performed fairly well despite many authoritative predictions of an imminent downturn. At the time, the Wall Street Journal published an article titled "Why the Recession is Always 6 Months Away." It's a good one. In it, they said that the next economic downturn has become the most anticipated in U.S. history and that it also keeps getting postponed. The journal was right. A post-pandemic recession has been predicted for multiple years at this point, and it's likely that this has contributed to a certain amount of recession fatigue or even some of this boy that cried recession effect among many of our clients and listeners. So Brandon, in light of this, can you use your opening statement to tell me why employers should not let their guard down? And why is there still cause for concern about an economic downturn? How does somebody take the case for a bearish economy outlook with the recent data?
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. You know, and I do think there is concern. I know it's been talked about for a while. I think a slowdown could have easily been pushed into 2024 for a variety of reasons, but the main one is the consumer. The consumer was unexpectedly strong in 2023. And as you know, consumption is roughly 70% of GDP, which explains why last year was such a great economic year and, you know, really outpaced expectations. However, you know, I'm really starting to see some signs that the consumer is beginning to weaken. According to FactSet, consumer loans just surpassed $1 trillion. The savings rate has been plummeting since its pandemic high, and it currently sits at, you know, right around 4%. We really like to see that number closer to 7. So what this is really telling me is that the consumer has been spending, but they've been spending a lot more on credit and they've been saving less. And I just don't know how sustainable that trend is. Yes, a post-pandemic recession has been forecasted for a long time. And while I'm always like to be a little cautiously optimistic, I do believe that there are higher than average odds that this year a slowdown could hit.
All right, that's some interesting stuff. Thank you for that, Brandon. Now, on to you, Sam. One Digital's client base is composed of tens of thousands of businesses and individuals from really all walks of life. While there's been a steady drumbeat of mostly positive economic news in recent weeks, there's often a disconnect between economic statistics and people's actual lived experience, right? Many employers and employees continue to struggle with the legacy of post-pandemic inflation, ongoing labor shortages, and, again, those high borrowing costs. With that being said, talk to me a little bit, if you will, in your opening statement and help us make a data-driven case for optimism. And if you could, explain why our clients shouldn't be quite so wary of the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a couple of things you mentioned, labor shortages, that's been a huge headwind for businesses. Hiring and attracting and retaining your talent has been really something I've heard from all the clients that I work with. But what we're seeing is that quit rates and job changers have started to come down to normal levels. That spike really peaked out in 2023, early 23, and it's come back down to normal levels. I think that's an improving story. Unemployment has remained low since its COVID spike, and I think we're going to continue to see that because, like I said, there's a lot of jobs that need to be filled. I just ultimately think that COVID created some unforeseen circumstances. It obviously, when we were locked in our homes, it was a complete change to the way we live our lives, but it really changed the way people behave financially. You look at the household savings rates and the consumer net worth right now, it spiked in COVID and it's still at an elevated level from pre-pandemic levels. Bank of America did a study where the lowest bracket of income folks still have four times in their checking and savings accounts than they did in pre-pandemic levels. That is real money. And I think it's what's been able to help us get through a time of higher costs and higher inflation. That's been the cushion that's helped us get through and why consumer spending was so strong in 2023, despite all odds. So I think, if we can see rates come down and now that inflation is coming down to more normalized levels, I think that poses a picture for brighter future ahead.
Good news. Well, thank you for that, Sam. And I will say, my husband would tell you, I'm doing what I can to help in the consumer spending department. So
I'm right there
now
with
let's
you.
move. So let's move on to the meat of the debate. We've talked about the predictions of a recession really being all the rage in 2022 and 2023. So, for example, on the previous economy-themed episode, I mentioned we discussed how Bloomberg published a piece saying that there was a 100% chance of a recession occurring last year. That's a pretty high chance, right? 100%. Forecasts like these haven't aged well, and there seem to be far fewer of them today than there were 12 or even 18 months ago. So, Brandon, let's flip back to you. What do you make of this development? How have economic conditions changed relative to last year, this time last year? And is it fair to say that things have largely gone better than most people expected?
And I first want to start off by saying how incredibly difficult it is to forecast the economy and the stock market, especially over short periods of time. If you look at all the market predictors out there entering 2023, most investors expected a recession, obviously. But Q3 GDP was 5%. S&P climbed 24%. It was largely led by those top seven stocks. And now here we are a few months into 2024. Consensus still, believes the Fed will engineer a soft landing, and most are calling for, another solid year on the S&P. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm actually surprised by how resilient the economy and markets were last year. We had just seen the fastest pace of rate hikes since the 1970s, combined with, a couple large bank failures in March and April, and yet the stock market, continued to chug higher and was up way more than its long-term average, and GDP was up higher than forecasted. So I would argue that economic conditions haven't changed too much, but one thing that has changed is time, and time since the hiking cycle began. See, monetary policy usually works with a lag, and here we are, about 17, maybe almost 18 months away from the beginning of this hiking cycle. And historically speaking, recession risk is highest between the 14th and the 24th month. And in fact, according to Bloomberg, there have been roughly 140 global tightening cycles since the 60s, and nearly all of them have ended in a recession at some point.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's some strong data right there. Sam, let's flip that back to you. What do you think in terms of, this concept of economic conditions, how they've changed relative to last year, and has it gone better than what we thought it would have?
I think it's partially just a forward-looking thing, right? Like Brandon mentioned, it's remarkably difficult to predict when the market's going to, turn south. It's also remarkably difficult to predict when interest rates are going to come down. Some of the smartest people in the business get the direction of interest rate moves wrong, which means they think they're going to cut and the Fed actually goes up. I do still think the general consensus is that rates are going to come down from here. It might be slower than people think, but again, that consumer savings and also not to mention one of the huge factors driving inflation has been wages. So people are making more money and also they're having to pay higher costs. So it really puts us in the same spot we were in before. I think if we do see rates come down this year or over the next 18 months, I think that's where we can that'll be something that'll kind of refuel the economy and continue to keep things pushing forward.
Yeah, going back to our discussion a little bit at the beginning, I mean, I think we know that to a certain degree, economic conditions really are influenced by the government, right? The Federal Reserve sets interest rates, to your point, and both of you guys have mentioned interest rates and controls the money supply. Congress decides how much money is borrowed and spent. Entities like the Treasury Department and FDIC can intervene in the market during a crisis, such as the one we saw with Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic a year or so ago. The president can also take unilateral action to impact the economy, such as when President Biden released millions of barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in an effort to reduce high gas prices in 2022. So, going back to you, Brandon, how will the actions of these government actors play into the economic climate of 2024? How much power do they actually have to influence economic health? And will the fact that this year is an election year, always interesting, shape their decisions? What do you think?
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the government's influence on the economy, and really we hear about this every 4 years or so from clients. It's going to be a pretty big topic here this year and in the coming months. And typically fiscal policy does grow more expansive in election years, which would favor growth or the glass half full argument. But this year with the budget deficit being so large and the cost to service that debt, due to these higher interest rates, that may curtail that a little bit. And monetarily, interest rates are significantly more restrictive than they were a few years ago. And the money supply has recently started to contract, which are both very large negatives for growth. And in fact, there's been three instances of recession in election years, at least in my lifetime. And that's 1990 to 1991, the dot-com bubble burst of the 2000s, and the Great Recession of 2008. So just because it's an election year, at least historically speaking, that does not mean we cannot have a recession or at least a slowdown.
Great point. Well, Sam, what do you think about that? Obviously, a lot going on in the political climate this year. How does that play into kind of this economic conversation that we're having?
Yeah, I think Brandon made some good points. Ultimately, the way I look at it, I think it's more important on the Fed right now in interest rates than the presidential election. You look at election years going back, the average return going back to 1920s is more than 11%. If the incumbent wins, regardless of which incumbent is, it's even higher than that. And like Brandon said, there even have been some bear markets in those election years that have skewed those numbers lower. But did the president have anything to do with the dot-com bubble? Did the president have anything to do with the global financial crisis? I don't think so. So I think it's really more important on looking at what happens with interest rates. You look at the housing market, there's so many people who have locked in a 2 to 3% mortgage rate. And now if they want to sell their house and move, they can't because they either have to get a much smaller or much more affordable property to maintain the same payment. they're kind of stuck. So if we see rates continue to come down, or start to come down rather, I think some of those some of the housing market slowdowns could pick back up. And you know, I think the Fed though has to be careful because if they cut rates too quickly, then inflation just goes right back to where it was, and we see this rush of demand in the housing market if they swiftly cut rates. So I think they're going to have to be careful. I think, you know, myself as a new homeowner, I'm hoping they cut rates sooner rather than later. But and I think there are a lot of other people in the same boat. But again, it's really difficult to predict when and how quickly, and that's something that we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Sam, let's stick with you for a second. You know, economists often speak in terms of what we call indicators. In the interest of grounding today's discussion in data, I'd love for each of you guys to highlight one key indicator or maybe a statistic that you haven't mentioned and explain how it helps to prove your point. So, Sam, what's a critical economic indicator that people aren't paying enough attention to? How does that support your argument about kind of this conversation around economic conditions and what our clients should expect?
Yeah, so just to kind of take a step back, I think it might be helpful to clear up what exactly we're talking about here. And you know, we're talking about a recession, which means back-to-back quarters of negative GDP. You know, I think a lot of times you hear bear market, you hear market correction, and sometimes they get thrown around almost interchangeably. But a recession is really not tied to the stock market. It's tied to how much the economy is producing. And technically, we did have a recession in 2020. You know, when the market shut down, when the economy shut down, we had back-to-back quarters of Q1 and Q2 of negative GDP. It just snapped back so quickly that people seem to forget about it and brush right past it. But I think a lot of those effects were then felt a couple years later. You know, 2022, we have double-digit losses in both the stock and bond market. So had those two events been aligned, had the, you know, the year-long stock market losses and bond losses coincided with the negative GDP in 2020, have those been the same year, we might not be talking about this. We might be talking about how we're just 2 years into a bull market, and the average bull market lasts, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 years. I think the conversation could be completely different. And I think it goes back to the strange times that COVID has created. You know, when people are able to withstand, you know, higher costs by having more cash on hand, I think that changes the game. And that's why we saw the market and the economy perform the way we did in 2023. So it's not so much an indicator, but just kind of reframing what's happened in the last few years, to kind of reshape that. You know, maybe we did experience that recession. It was a quick one in 20, and then we really felt it in 22, and maybe now we're off and running on the rebound right now.
Yeah, the term unprecedented, I feel like, has been so incredibly overused, but at the same time, how else do you describe it, right? I mean, it was an unprecedented season. All right, Brandon, let's flip to you. You know, going back to the data, to the statistics from this economic indicator standpoint, you know, point out something to us that really proves your point that maybe we haven't heard from you quite yet.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to just stick to one, but I'm gonna go with consumer spending going forward here. You know, although we have recently gone through the deepest yield curve inversion in 40 years, and a year-over-year contraction in money supply, which are both pretty large negatives, and really highlight the fact that, you know, a recession should be right around the corner. I'm really gonna be watching that consumer spending. You know, the consumer has held up well due to that buildup in excess savings, as Sam said, but according to the San Francisco Fed here recently, those savings, almost 2 trillion of them, are almost completely depleted, almost, you know, back to even there. But it also feels like the cost, at the same time, the cost of many things haven't changed. Even Costco, if you've recently seen, you know, raise the prices of their hot dogs 50%, you know, so savings has come down. But
Awful.
prices just, you know, don't seem to have gone anywhere or really kind of continue to inch up. So with all that taken into consideration, I'm just really curious to see where the consumer goes from here. Do they begin to show more signs of weakening? And that's really what I'm watching.
I don't know, Sam. I think we might need to give Brandon some extra points for pulling in the Costco hot dog inflation. So that's hurt that hurts the pocketbooks of the American consumer guys. So
It does. That's a huge staple in the economy right now. If those hot dog sales start to decline,
we got
I
to
think
watch that. Keep an eye on that for
we
us,
may all be
guys.
doomed.
All right. So the word vibe session, this is going to be fun to say this, right? Has become popular over the past year or so. Dictionary.com defines vibe session as a period of widespread pessimism about the economy, regardless of the actual economic situation, right? So it's just bad vibes. Essentially, the idea is that both businesses and individuals are gloomy about the economy, even though the fundamentals are arguably quite strong at that moment. At this point, we're looking at inflation that has just decreased dramatically from its peak, a labor market that's cooled off from the spectacular highs of the Great Resignation, but still actually remains quite strong, and an economy that grew by a strong 3.1% in 2023, and from early indicators, appears to be performing fairly well in the first half of this year. If businesses and consumers are ignoring information like this in favor of bad vibes, it could have significant negative impacts and become something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Pessimistic business leaders could conduct unnecessary layoffs, pessimistic consumers could cut back on spending, and a vibe session could ultimately morph into an actual recession. Sam, let's start with you. What role do you think these types of feelings and perceptions actually play in economic health, if any? Does the vibe session hypothesis stand up to scrutiny? And are people and businesses really behaving in a kind of irrationally pessimistic manner? What do you think?
I actually don't think people behave irrationally based on vibes. I think vibes can have a serious impact on the stock market. I think it has a much smaller impact on the actual economy. The economy and the stock market are two different things. You know, the stock market is a lot of large tech companies that are really leading the way. The economy is small businesses. It's groceries, it's housing, it's autos, it's all the things that we spend on every single day. You know, I don't think people, if people have, you know, bad vibes, their pocketbooks getting a little tighter, they might go to Trader Joe's instead of Whole Foods. I don't think they're gonna go immediately to eating ramen 3 times a day. You know, I think people want to maintain a certain level of lifestyle, and vibes of what could potentially go wrong, I don't think would ever change that. That being said, you know, vibes can impact what you want to do with your stock holdings. For those who do some personal trading on their own, I often hear people who are too early to move out of the market because they think something bad's going to happen. Well, like you said at the start, that recession is always 6 months away. Every calendar year we've ever had, there are some negative headlines that spook people into thinking this is it, this is when it comes down. But when you look at the numbers, statistically, the favor is on the side of the bull market. The average bull market lasts more than 5 years. The average bear market lasts just over a year. It was really what we experienced in 2022. And, you know, for a lot of people that like to think that investing is just like gambling, that 5-to-1 odds is pretty darn good odds. Show me the blackjack table that's got five wins to one loss, and I'll bankrupt the casino. So, you know, I think vibes matter for the stocks, the stock traders and their personal accounts. I don't think it affects people's spending habits at the end of the day.
All right. Well, Brandon, let's talk vibes on your side. So, do you think that this vibe session hypothesis does hold up to scrutiny? And, you know, is that a factor in our overall economic health? Can those vibes actually turn into reality? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I do think so. I think it can be somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy from time to time, you know, but I'd really like to kind of harp on the media first on this one. I do think people should look at everything they read or see, you know, on the news with a little grain of salt. You know, headlines that have a negative bias end up getting about a 63% higher view rating result than positive ones. You know, and although I don't think they should, I do think emotions and feelings play a pretty big part in the economic health, and then by extension, you know, the investment world. But in this case, as I mentioned, I do think it's somewhat rational. You know, I've already mentioned the excess savings issue. Fiscal stimulus has been running high with the student loan moratoriums that most recently kicked in. You know, 40% of the 22 million Americans have already missed their first student loan repayment. consumers and businesses, as Sam mentioned, do have refinanced their debt here fairly recently. But eventually, they are going to have to go out to the market, and there'll be higher rates to refinance, the previously refinanced debt. And then, yes, there's also twice as many job openings as people unemployed. But AI and eventually that will change and that will flip. So again, the consumers held up very well, but when they pull back, it's my opinion layoffs will kick in, and those emotions will really kind of take over.
Vibe session. I have to say that's a new word that I'm learning. So who would have thought, right? Well, thank you guys both for an excellent debate. This has been a lot of fun. I think you've given our listeners quite a lot to think about. And as we begin to wrap things up, I wanted to ask one last question that you can use as a springboard for your closing statement. So let's start to get tactical here. To, to close out, tell me how our employers and clients that are listening to this podcast should use economic data to inform their decision making, right? So let's kind of take it down to that point. And based on how you think the economic situation will play out, what types of policies might make the most sense for businesses to adopt in 2024 and beyond? So, Brandon, we'll stay with you. Let's kick this one off with you.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and Sam today. And first off, I think based on the fact that we're even having this discussion, it's important for companies to be nimble in an environment like this, allocate their capital with more discipline, really kind of watch their new hires, or at least maybe have a second thought about that, at least at this point. And I do think it's safe to say we've had a crazy 4 years or so, coming out of COVID. There's been many surprises, many ups and downs. But as with any cycle or economic cycle, at some point you'll see investment down, you'll see consumption fall, retail sales will fall, and unemployment will rise, and hence, you'll have your recession. So again, I always try to be cautiously optimistic. But based on everything we've talked about today, I would tend to say there are higher than normal odds that some sort of slowdown or recession's on the horizon.
All right. Well, Sam, let's flip this over to you. How do our employers take this economic data and some of these things that we've talked about today and really translate that to decision making for their business?
Yeah, I think Brandon said it really well. It's a good time to be really prudent and really thoughtful about your costs. Should we see more stress and a higher for longer environment, higher rates for longer? I think managing costs for a business is going to be crucial. COVID did change a lot of things. So if you were somebody who got out of your high cost lease for your office space recently, like that is some savings that are similar to what we're seeing for the consumer. If that business was able to really save some money over the last few years by going to a remote workforce, maybe that has really helped you. And I think continuing to try to keep your costs within reason is going to be crucial. On the topic of cost containment and just minimizing waste, One Digital has really a suite of resources and expertise that can help companies in this area, and none better than our cost containment playbook. Really goes into all facets of the business and finding ways to save money. So I would really call that out as a great resource to look into after this. If you don't have it already, reach out to your One Digital contact and we'll get it in your hands as soon as possible, because I really think it's a game changer and chock full of strategies for employers to consider these days. So, we want people to always be prudent, and that's part of the risk that I take here by arguing that there are clear skies ahead. But there's never going to be a good market environment for an irrational business owner. So really, we want to always be thoughtful with the decisions we're making, and now is no different.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, to your point, like this is about making good business decisions, right? And that's going to be regardless of the economic climate. So Brandon and Sam, thank you both so much for those closing statements. Now it's up to our listeners to decide. Should employers be battening down the hatches in anticipation of more instability and a possible recession? Or will 2024 be a better business environment than the doomsayers would have you believe? As a reminder, One Digital is your one-stop shop for workforce management advisory services. We're fierce advocates who are here to support your business, provide strategic suggestions, and empower your employees. Thank you for listening, and we hope to catch you again for future episodes.
This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered a solicitation to engage in any particular action or strategy, investment or otherwise. Listeners should consult with an investment professional to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their specific circumstances. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of the individual presenters and/or guests, and may not necessarily represent the views and/or opinions of One Digital Investment Advisors, LLC, and its affiliates, One Digital. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. One Digital does not have any obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.